Good morning, New Hope Church. Hey, my name is Pastor Jeremy. I serve as the lead pastor here. And man, I'm just so excited every single week. Just new people are coming to our church. The word is getting out. People are being saved. Things are happening in this house that can only be of God. And an amazing team. An amazing team here at New Hope Church who helps stand this ministry up every single week through the youth ministry and all the wonderful things that we get to do. But hey, if you're new with us this morning, I'm so glad that you're here. We have a message and a word for you today that I'm super passionate about. But we have a really awesome way that we welcome our new guests. Would you do that with me on three? One, two, three. Welcome home. Welcome home. You are in the right place at the right time. And I believe that today, I'm a pastor who challenges. I'm a pastor who doesn't like to fluff things up and give you, like I like to say, tickle your ears and make everything sound great and perfect. Because guess what? If everything was great and perfect, we would have no need for a Savior. We would be our own Saviors. But it's in our life and our struggles and the things that we go through that help us to get into the presence of God, because we know, left to our own devices and our own shame and our own hurt and our own fear, as we talked about last week, that we will continue to spiral out of control. And the moment we step in and understand and realize what God means to us and what He does for us changes everything. This message is going to be one that's close to my heart because I've lived it. Matter of fact, most of us have lived it at some point in our lives. And so first we're going to be in Psalms 51, 1 through 14. Psalms 51, 1 through 14 is a passage that shook me to my core. When I was arrested for selling drugs and gambling and theft and went to jail, I came across this scripture and this was my prayer from my heart. God, this is what I need. Help me do this. And we're not going to read it right yet, but I want to set the stage before we get into the passage so it helps you understand the message that David is creating here. So first I want to start with a question that's going to make some of you very uncomfortable. Way to start the sermon, right? And if it does make you uncomfortable, it means you need to hear this message today. What's one thing about yourself that you pray no one in this room will ever find out? I can see it in some of your faces already. Some of you are just felt your heart spike. Start beating a little bit faster. You started might even looking around like, did anybody notice I made a facial expression? Some of you probably are like, man, I'm out of here. Pastor's talking about this, he's going to call this out. No, I'm not going to call this out. Exit strategy, right? You got to understand that's the thing, that thing that you just thought of, that moment, that decision, that part of your story you edited out of your life. That's not just a secret that you have. It's your prison that you live in. See, here's what nobody talks about in the church. We spend so much time thanking God for His love and His grace and His forgiveness. Ooh, we need all of that, right? Say amen. Amen. We need all of that. But we don't know why we need those things until we actually figure out why we need those things. Most of us are convinced, and we're walking around and convinced that God's love even has limits on us sometimes. That His grace and His forgiveness have fine print added to it. Some believe the lie that says God loves you, but if He really knew you, God can use you, but not after what you did. God forgives you, but you'll always be damaged goods. And so we live these exhausted, double lives. Saints on Sunday, struggling with secrets every other day of the week. We have prayer warriors, not just here. You're all prayer warriors. Let me say it that way so I'm not calling anybody out. We have prayer warriors who can't pray about their own battles. We have people helping everyone else find freedom while we stay chained to our own. I'm going to say what if. You say what if.
What if?
When I say what if, you say what if.
What if?
Okay, you ready? But what if,
what if
I told you that the very thing you're most ashamed of is the thing that you just thought of when I asked you that first question, what if?
What if?
That's not what disqualifies you. What if?
What
if it's the hurt that becomes the power that God uses in your life? What if? The God who created light from darkness, something from nothing, life to in death, life from death. What if he specializes in taking the exact thing that shame tells you that you're worthless and transforms it into the greatest source of strength? What if? The God who created light from darkness chose you in your brokenness. What if he's not in the business of putting your old life back together exactly the way it was? What if? In the busyness of taking your broken pieces and building something more magnificent than you ever could have thought possible or imagined. What if? Today we're going to meet a man who has discovered this. The truth in the worst moment of his life. That's not me. It's all of us. It's all of us. A man who went from covering up his shame to uncovering God's grace. A man who learned that the rock bottom became the solid foundation from which everything else God would do and build in his life. What's his name? David, come on. Jesus too. David, in his prayer written in his darkest hours, about to become your pathway to freedom. It became my pathway from freedom when I sat in a jail thinking I was going to go to prison for the rest of my life. And this is what the scripture, I've been waiting to preach this scripture for a long time. Waiting for the right time. Today is the right time. Today is the day that the Lord has made. So let me pray. Father in heaven, I pray today that you would soften our hearts, that you would allow us to see past our shame and into your grace. Father, don't disqualify us because of our mistakes, but Father, you take our mistakes and you make us qualified because of them. Father, your Holy Spirit have his way in our hearts today. Speak life today. Encourage us so that we may step out of our shame and into your grace. And everyone says,
amen.
Are you ready to discover what happens when shame becomes your superpower? Mm-hmm. Shame is your superpower. Some are going, I can't wait to see where this goes. Here's something that they don't teach you on Sunday school. Your shame might be the most honest thing about you. Not because you should stay in your shame, but because it reveals just how desperately you want to be whole. that uncomfortable feeling isn't God's rejection in your life. When you feel the shame, it's your soul's GPS tracking system. It's telling you that you need healing from this. It's like when fear, we talked about last week, somebody brought it up to my attention this morning. The fear is information coming in. It's what you do with the information that will allow you to be stuck in your fear, or you learn from your fear, like the fire detector. When a fire detector goes off, it doesn't mean your house is burning down. It just says, warning, warning, there's something going on. Pastor Jeremy's burning the cookies. It's your soul's GPS pointing you towards healing that you need. That's what it is. Let's cut through religious talk. Let's get over the self-help fluff for a minute. And let's just be real here. Shame isn't just feeling bad about something you did. That's not what it's all about. Guilt says, I've screwed up. Guilt is what tells you, hey man, I messed up. I screwed up. I messed up. I made a mistake. But shame says, you are screwed up. I am. That's become my identity. I am a mess up. Does that make sense? Guilt says I'm screwed up. Shame says that I am a screw up. Shame is the tool that the devil uses to keep us from being a threat. It doesn't just attack what you've done. It rewrites your entire identity. Shame whispers your damaged goods beyond repair. God tolerates you, but he could never actually use you. If real people saw the real you, they'd run. You're fundamentally different, fundamentally broken, and fundamentally wrong. It's the biggest one I could find. But you get the point, right? You'll see the point. Picture this. You have spent years building something. Something beautiful. Every piece in your house, it's placed perfectly. Every wall is aligned. Every detail matters because this represents something precious to you, your dreams, your reputation, your carefully constructed life. And then, one wrong move. One moment of carelessness. One decision that you can't take back. It's supposed to all come out. One wrong decision, one careless move, one decision that takes it all back. Everything that you've built comes tumbling down. Pieces are scattered everywhere, some under the couch, some rolled under the dark corners of your room. Some of the pieces you'll never find again, and those pieces are the good things in your life. Those are the ones we seem to lose the most of, but it's the bad things that we hold on to and never forget. Guilt looks at the mess and says, I knocked something over that I worked hard to build. But shame says it sits down right in the middle of it, of all the scattered pieces, and it whispers something far more devastating than that. Shame says, I am the broken house. I'm nothing but scattered pieces that will never fit together again. I'm a mistake. I'm worthless. I'm beyond repair. I'm an addict. I'm all these things. Let me say it this way. Shame. I've been in recovery for 10 years, and I've heard stories. I got to say, women, or even men, if you've been abused in your life, my heart breaks for you. But do not give that power any more. Don't give that person any more power than they have already taken from you. Shame keeps you in the past. It keeps you stuck in those areas. Shame sits down in the middle and says all these negative things. But here's where everything can change. But what if? Oh, come on. But what if? What if I told you that the God of the universe, the master builder, who designed every atom to every star, specializes in taking scattered pieces and building something more magnificent than you could have ever had before it broke? What if? He doesn't put your house back together. What if he builds a palace instead? We get stuck in our shame and we can never see forward. You guys ready to get in God's word now?
Yes.
That's a big intro, huh? We got 45 minutes. I love this. Have mercy on me, O God. According to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me, yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in a secret place. Psalms 51, 1 through 6. Man, I remember sitting in my jail cell, just reading that. God, forgive me. My shame was so heavy that there was no way I could carry it with my pride any longer. David doesn't start with excuses. He starts with surrender. This is a man who committed adultery. He's talking, this scripture comes from the moment that he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he abused his power and he murdered somebody in that. And I'll get to that in a minute. Yet he doesn't negotiate with God to appeal to his past success. We're talking King David. He was the king at this time. And he was famous and known in all the battles. This is King David. Let's cheer. That David. He doesn't go to God and appeal to his past. Instead, he throws himself completely onto God's character. Not his own character. Not in who he is. Watch the progression here that David says in this text. It says, David asked for mercy and grace for his failures. Three different words he used for his failures. Transgressions. That's rebellion. Iniquity. That's moral corruption. Sin. That means you missed the mark. And then you also notice three different words that God, how God responds. He says he blots out. That means erases completely. He washes away. Scrubs you clean. And he cleanses, he purifies you. And the three different words for God's response is blot out, wash away, and cleanse. You need to know that. David is drowning in his awareness of his failures, admitting that shame has made his sin always in front of him. It's a point where you're saying, all I can do is see the bad things that I've done. It's like a movie. The word ruminating, we've talked about this several times. It's like a movie playing on repeat over and over and over, and it never stops playing the same track. But here's the breakthrough moment. In this psalm, David recognizes that his crimes against Bathsheba, if you go to the story, he was in the palace and he's seen down and seen a beautiful woman. And he had to have her. Lust set in. Uriah is one of his people, one of his military guys, a friend of his. He kills him so he can have an affair with Bathsheba. Sends him off to war to be killed. and his nations were ultimately crimes against God. You see, these crimes weren't just against Bathsheba, Uriah, and the nation of Israel. His crimes are against God. That's why he says all of his sin is rebellion against our Creator, our Creator's authority, its design, and his love. True repentance starts by getting into the relationship with the one who matters the most. This is what true repentance looks like. No excuses, no minimizing, no blame shifting, just raw honesty about your own brokenness met with the desperate faith of a God. David's appeal not just to his worthiness, but of God's unfailing love. He doesn't ask God to forget his failure. He's not asking him to forget it. He's asking God to transform his future. This is a prayer of someone who understands that rock bottom is the perfect foundation for God to build something magnificent. When I sat in the jail cell, this is before I read this scripture, the shame of my life, losing my kids, losing my wife, losing everything. Do you know I gambled over $100,000 worth of stolen equipment away? I was in a car accident where a 20-year-old man lost his life on a motorcycle in my addiction. Marriages were divided and destroyed because of my addiction and my selling of crystal meth. The shame that I carried around was so heavy, and I got to a place where I was so broken that all I could do is look up. There was no more pride in my life. And I said, God, if you're really there, I give up. It was in that moment that God replaced my shame with purpose. My shame became my superpower. Not right away. We'll get to that. I knew in my moment of repentance when I sat in that jail cell, and I sat there and I wept and cried, and a group of other people who were arrested, and I wept. You don't cry in jail. You're not supposed to do that. You know? And I just said, I think I need to repent. And in my heart, I said, God, I didn't sin against my wife, my kids, my family. I sinned against you. I was breaking your heart, and you're what matters the most to me now. We can easily point our fingers at everything else around us until we can step out of ourselves and say, you know, I'm the cause for half the stuff that goes wrong in my life anyway. A lot of times it's my stinking thinking. But God can create something out of nothing. I had nothing when I sat in that jail cell. Me and her weren't even talking. I was broken. I had nothing. My parents were in jail with me. I had nothing. But here's what Psalms 51, 7 through 12 says. It says, Clean me with, I said this word a million times to make sure I got it right, hyssop. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let my bones you have crushed be filled with joy. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Man. This is where everything shifts. David stops staring at his failures and starts focusing on God's power to create. Watch the progression here. He moves from confession to construction, from breakdown to breakthrough. David isn't asking for a surface level cleaning here. He's asking for a disease type healing. The hyssop. Say that 10 times. Hyssop was a plant used for cleansing, purification, sometimes from leprosy. It has both physical and spiritual meaning. He needed more than just forgiveness in his life. He needed to be totally transformed. And God's promise wasn't just to clean him. It was to make him whiter than snow. But notice how deep this goes. David is asking God to rebuild him from the bones up. Shame doesn't just wound your emotions. It crushes the very foundation of your physical being. Your core identity. David understands that the surface level fixes here are not going to work when it comes to soul level damage. Let me say that again. David understands that a surface level fix won't work for soul level damage. And then here comes the beauty of grace. David wants God to look away from his sin, but look directly at him. Don't look at my sin, but look at me. That is the power of the cross. God's mercy doesn't ignore sin. It absorbs it through Jesus. The power of the cross, God's mercy doesn't ignore your sin. He absorbs it, allowing the Father to see us without the shame that we carry. When you look in the mirror and when you see yourself as this broken person, and then you look and guess what? You are wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God doesn't see your shame and your guilt and your fear or any of that. He sees Jesus if he's in you. He sees Jesus in you. I love this. David uses this word create here, bara, in Hebrew. It's the exact same word in Genesis 1:1. When God created the heavens and the earth. David isn't asking for repair or quick fix or even recovery. He's asking for recreation. Recreate me into the man that you're calling me to be. Recreate me to be the woman that you're calling me to be. David isn't just asking for repair. Recreation is what he's asking for. He's asking God to do what only God can do. Creating something from all these broken pieces. I have found that this is probably one of the most dangerous prayers in the Bible, the scripture that we're reading through. And the most liberating at the same time. David strips away every defense, every excuse, every attempt to minimize his failure, and hands God all the raw material of his shame. And God responds. And how does God respond? Not with rejection, but with transformation. David's learned that the depth of his shame became the measure of God's grace. He who has been forgiven much forgives much. The person who's been given a massive amount of grace learns to how to give grace. This truth will set you free. Every person who's ever walked in a true spiritual authority, every individual who's ever carried a genuine influence, every leader who's ever changed the world, they have all come to one common theme or conclusion. They all have one thing in common. They learn to transform their deepest shame into their greatest strength. Moses had murder in his past. David was the adulterer and killed his friend, whatever. Paul was a terrorist. Come on. Peter was a coward who denied Jesus when it mattered the most. God didn't use them in spite of their shame. He used them because of it. No perfect people allowed. You see, shame creates something that success and works will never be able to do. Authenticity. Being an authentic person saved by grace. Your brokenness breeds compassion. Your deepest wounds become your greatest strengths to help other people. There comes a moment, and you will know it when it happens. Know it when it happens. I can't even... When I knew it, I knew it. There's a word for that. It's called being born again. There comes a moment, and you'll know it when it happens, when you stop running from your story and start running towards it. Your shame is keeping you from running to your testimony, to your story. When you realize that the very thing that you've been ashamed of isn't your disqualification, it becomes your calling. Your shame becomes your calling. God doesn't want to use perfect people. Your scattered pieces become the strongest foundation when He puts it back together. Your collapsed house becomes the greatest construction project ever. Your breakdown becomes your breakthrough. When you break down and you're broken, it becomes your breakthrough. But there is a catch. There's always a catch. This transformation doesn't happen by accident. It requires a choice. And the choice is for you. It's a deliberate, conscious decision to stop being the victim of shame and start being a victor over it. Stop saying, oh, pity me, look at everything, look at what everybody's done to me, and look at my world, and look at my life. And I've been set up. I used to say that, man, I was set up to fail from a young age. My principal, my teachers sat there and told me that I was never going to amount to nothing. I was listening to the lie that I was never going to be enough. So what do? In my shame, I'm going to make other people feel what I feel. And I'm going to hurt people. And I'm going to talk down to people. This transformation doesn't happen by accident. It requires a choice. It's a conscious decision to stop being the victim of your shame and start being a victor over it. My shame of my past that I just shared has become the platform from which God would use me. Because I don't live in the shame of my bad decisions, my choices in my past, because God has stepped in, showed grace, forgiven, and I said, have mercy on me, Lord. And because of, listen, I wear my old shame like it's a badge now. Look how bad I was, but look how good God is. Not only has He allowed me to live in that, He's given us opportunity to stand on one of the biggest stages in the United States to share my brokenness. He has given me opportunity to share with unbelieving people in alcohol classes where you got to re-get your driver's license and all these things, like victim impact panels. I've gotten the opportunity to stand in front of 3,000 people and tell people how stupid I was, but how good God is. My shame is my platform for what God wants to do. I don't live in it any longer. Your shame can become your ministry when you put it into the hands of God. Let's move on. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, then I will teach transgressors your way so that sinners will turn back to you. This is the promise every broken person can make. When you restore me, I will use my story to bring others back into your presence. Your shame becomes your qualification to minister to others, drowning in their darkness. My shame has become the platform for His grace. In verse 14, it says, "Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You who are my Savior, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness." Notice that David doesn't say, "I'll sing about, I got my act together." It's not what he's saying. I do that sometimes. Sometimes I don't mean to, but I am a broken man. And I still put my pants on the same way you put your pants on, and your shoes on the same way you put your shoes on. I will do that sometimes. And I will take credit for where God should have got it. David's saying, "I'm not going to sing about what I did." He says, "I'm going to sing about your righteousness." The song isn't about his comeback. It's about God's character. God's character to forgive even the worst of things. Right now, there's some of you out there drowning in the exact same shame that once threatened to destroy you. There are people who've been through what you've been through. And the moment you can give your shame into the hands of God, He will take that to help other people. There are people who are convinced there's no hope. Well, guess what? There's new hope. There are people who thought they were beyond redemption. People who think that they're beyond being used by God because shame has them by the grips. They need to see that God takes collapsed houses and builds cathedrals out of them. Every one of you in this room might feel like your shame defines who you are, but God is working on you. He ain't done with you. You ain't here today by accident if you're a new person in our church. You're here because God drew you here to hear this message today. They need to see that God takes shattered pieces and creates masterpieces with them. I don't have time to do that today. It takes time. Here's what they need to see. They need to see that God takes what the world calls destroyed and transforms it into design for a purpose. When you say it's destroyed, He transforms it into designed for a purpose. You were designed for a purpose, a place, a power, a strength that does not come from you but comes from Him. And you're never going to feed into that until you put your shame into the Creator's hands to take it, do His little whipping together. He gives it back to you, all as a beautiful masterpiece. He says, "Now go share." You need to see these people that are in your lives, in your families, and in our communities, they need to see you redeemed, restored, and walking in the authority that only comes from being broken and rebuilt by the Master's hand. So you have a choice. Listen to me carefully. You may have come here trying to carry something heavy. It might have been with you for the past couple months, a year, decades. The weight that you feel in your chest, that's not just emotion. If you're feeling a heaviness today, it's not just emotion. It's the sound of God knocking at your heart. He's knocking at the door of your shame, saying, "I want to build something magnificent in you." You have a choice to make right now. Not next week. Not when you get your life together. Not when you feel worthy, but right now. You can walk out of here the same way you walked in this morning. That's your decision. carrying that heavy weight, that same weight that probably tried to keep you from being here today. But God gave you the strength. When the world is trying to distract you from everything else, you are here today. Because that's God knocking at the door of your heart. Letting shame write the script of your life isn't what God has for you. Allowing your past to dictate your future isn't working. You can keep building walls around your broken places. Keep pretending that you're fine. Hey, I'm fine. I'm good. How you doing today? I'm good. You can keep pretending you're fine. You can keep exhausting yourself with your performance and your perfection. It's heavy. Or you can do what David did. You can take every scattered piece of your life, every failure, every regret, every moment that you wished you could erase out of your past, you could take that. Place that into the hands of God, who specializes in creating something beautiful out of nothing. Here's what I need you to understand. God doesn't see you the way that you see yourself. Thank God for that. I see a scared little boy when I look at the mirror. I look in that mirror and I say, God, I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not worthy to share your message. I'm not worthy of my past to do what you're calling me to do. I look in the mirror and I see a scared little boy. That's my shame talking. That's my past defining who God wants me to be today. And we say, not today, Satan. When you look in the mirror, you see your mistakes, your failures, the reasons you don't measure up. But when God looks at you, He sees raw materials for a miracle. You are a miracle. You are a miracle for somebody else. He sees you as the parents that you could become. Who could break generational cycles of dysfunction. That's how He sees you. And you know how He does that? Because you know what brokenness feels like and looks like. It starts with you. He sees the leader that you could become who leads with humility because you've been humbled. Yep. Yep. That hurts. I say that a lot. I'm like, man, God, keep me in your presence. Let me hear your voice, because if I don't have His voice and His spirit leading me, I got nothing. And if I'm not listening, guess what? He's going to humble me, and I don't like Him when He humbles me. I'd rather like learn from my mistakes and get to the spot where I don't have to be humbled, because, man, it's not fun. But He does some beautiful stuff there. He sees the healer you could become who brings hope to the hopeless, because you've been there. When somebody is in a hole so deep they can't get themselves out of, you can jump in the hole because you know how to get out of the hole. Because you've been in the hole and you got out. Every head bowed, every eye shut, please. We do this. I do this because I don't want anybody to be called out. I don't want you to feel shame. I don't want you to feel fear. I don't want you to feel like everybody's looking at you. The only person that matters that's looking at you right now is our Lord and Savior. I'm looking at you. But I need to know, I want to know how I can come alongside you and help you on this faith walk. If you're ready to stop running from your story and start running towards God's purpose for your life, and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you've never given your life to Jesus, raise your hand right now. Nobody's looking. Thank you, sir. If today is the day you're going to take shame and bury it at the cross and never pick it back up again, and you say, Jesus, I need everything that you have for me, I'm going to hang out here. If you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life, all this sounds great and good, but without Jesus, it's impossible. Because you're living on your own devices again. You're doing things your own way. How well is that working? One more time, if you need to give your life to Jesus, pop that hand up. I see you. I see you, and I see you. Praise God. Praise God. I want to pray a prayer, and I want you to, when I pray this prayer, I want you to pray this in your heart. I'm going to go slow, and I'm not going to ask you to do it out loud, because God hears your heart. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on inside you. And I don't want you to just say the words. I want you to mean them. Don't just repeat them in your heart. Receive them. Put your hands out like this for me. That means receive. And we pray. God, we've tried carrying this all alone. I'm tired of pretending I'm fine when I'm falling apart. I'm tired of letting my shame write the story of my life. And today I bring you every scattered piece, every broken dream, every moment of failure, every reason I think that I'm not good enough, I place it into your hands right now. God, create in us a pure heart. Not because we deserve it, but because you love to transform our messes into messages. Renew the right spirit within me. Make me so contagious for your love and your forgiveness that it affects everybody around me. Take these ashes and make them something beautiful. I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I surrender my past to you. I understand that my fear of not being enough to you, I surrender the fear and the anxiety. Take all of it and create something that brings you glory. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your love. I receive your purpose for my life. From this moment forward, my shame no longer defines me. Your grace defines me. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen.